Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, the podcast where father and son take the kitchen table arguments and heated discussions from their home directly to yours. Jim and Jack Boyle will explore the world as only they can. We might even let a few guests join the fun. So sit back, choose a side, watch the water temperature rise, and enjoy stimulating generational conversation about sports and life. Welcome to It All Boils Down to This, episode 31. I'm back in Massachusetts, where, as you can see, we're not in the studio, but we will bring you episode 31. We have a lot going on, especially in the college basketball world. We got both the men's and women's brackets are out. Jack, we talked a lot about the men's game and the women's game, and the women seem to be more popular with Caitlin Clark, but we're going to go through that. Want to just briefly quick talk on the Celtics in the last two games that they played with half their rosters not playing. Do a little bit of deep dive into, we've got fantasy baseball coming up this week. We'll do a little short segment on that. And then maybe we can bitch about the Red Sox a little bit, as well as baseball started today. The game was out there in South Korea. San Diego played Los Angeles, and there was a weird play in that game that helped determine the outcome. But let's start with my favorite subject, college basketball today. And it was a great week to be at Temple Owl. We actually got to see them play in the championship game. They finally ran out of gas. They won four straight games in the American Athletic Conference tournament. Anything you saw that with the gambling and all the stuff out there, what did you see and what's your take on what happened there?
So our podcast has to start with Temple, because like there's a million podcasts in the world. There's maybe like three that will discuss Temple. So we got to be unique. True. We got to be unique. What they did was like phenomenal, honestly. And they're coming off, a lot of people were even knew about them before this tournament. Like nobody, you would never talk about Temple basketball. Even when they were like decent, nobody was talking about Temple basketball. Before this tournament started, people were talking about Temple basketball because of the whole gambling thing, which we had talked about in this podcast. It was just, it was unbelievable to see. I remember I went to bed because they played a late game against, it was SMU, it was the first like real, like, oh, they're going to lose this game, because they won like that play-in thing or whatever. And then I think they won.
Right. They beat Texas City the tournament, correct.
Yeah, crap. So, and then they come back, they were down like five when I went to bed at halftime. I was like, oh, this season's over, whatever. It's a useless season. They win by 15. The next game, who they play next?
They beat Charlotte.
Charlotte. That was the game where they played great. I mean, were like, it looked like they were 10 times better. That was the game where you start thinking they've been point shaving. These kids have been point shaving, because like some of the players, like the Steve Settle kid and the Hoffman kid, who we call Karl Malone, were playing like NBA players. So that's when you start thinking point shaving. And then they beat FAU, who shouldn't be in the tournament for that loss. Temple almost choked the game away.
Give the Owls a break.
Free throws, but they should not. The Owls, I'm giving the Owls, the other Owls, there a hard time. They're an 8 seed. I cannot wait to fill out my bracket tonight. 9 seed, whoever they're playing, gone.
They're playing.
And then Temple ran out of gas. They weren't going to win another game. They lost in the final. But again, it was the best like Temple weekend and best Temple week in 5 years.
A long time. And you know what?
It's his senior year.
Yeah, it helps a lot. And even before then, I mean, that was the game they lost to. They lost in the opening round to, starts with a B in Tennessee. Belmont beat them in the first round in the play-in game. It's been a long time. It really has. And I have to say, we talked about the last podcast. I did the fist pump in the on the airplane. You put me on the no-fly list.
Got away with it.
But I had to be quiet at the Highlands with Pop, Mom, and Papa, because a lot of old people and Dad. My father comes out at 11 o'clock, 11:30, and says, "You know, you got to tone it down a little bit." During one of the late games, they played like three late night games in a row.
That's funny. You're what? How old are you?
I'm 62.
And your father still has to tell you to quiet down watching a sports game. That's sports.
On, said,
I'm not saying that's a bad thing. That'd be
And you probably be you and me when I'm 60.
I won't be. How old will you be when I'm 62?
I will probably be on this earth, my friend.
But yeah, no, yeah, you got away with the no fly list comment because they went on a run.
Right, but the other thing was, he comes out and he's calming down and he watched the game. And then he made sure that the next time, which was the FAU game, so it was the Charlotte game.
You had to. You couldn't miss the FAU game.
No, you couldn't.
Once they're in the, because it didn't get serious until they got to the semis. Once they beat Charlotte, that's when it got serious. So obviously,
That's true. I'm going to tell you, you're scratching again with your mic on the zipper there. The zipper scratches. That's all.
I got to stop wearing these when we do the podcast.
Yeah, because the zipper scratch. No, but it was great. And you're right. It's been a long time. I give the kids a lot of credit. There's been a lot of crap. You know, somebody said, you know, it's not going to be the Cinderella underdog. It's going to be the bad Cinderella underdog and all that bold crap that you have to listen to. And nothing's ever come out about what happened. And we've talked about the gambling. So let's talk about the other thing. This is why you're a fan. You know, I said this the last podcast. People wonder, why do you get so emotional? Why do you get so caught into it? It's because of moments like that, it makes it worthwhile. You know, anytime you're a sports fan, I think that's what makes it worthwhile. You agree with me?
No, it's a perfect segue into the Man United Liverpool game this weekend, right, where it's like, why do you watch this crap? Why do you watch them score zero goals all these games? Why do you watch this, blah, blah, blah? That game, people, like neutral fans, that's one of the best games of the decade. That was one of the best FA Cup games that's ever happened.
And that's
and we beat Liverpool. Nobody thought we'd win. It was at home. The fans were going crazy. That is exactly why sports are great.
And that's why the segment of the population that doesn't gamble watches the games. So think about it. Let's go this way. If you were gambling on the games, if you had gambled that FAU was going to beat Temple by 12 and a half, whatever it was, you'd have been if you're an FAU fan or even a Temple, you're wrecked. You're not enjoying the game. If you had gambled that Man U would lose that game, you gambled on the under on the points.
I would never bet against them. I would never bet I would never bet against the team I'm rooting for to win the game. Like, you can't do that because then you don't root for
them. I never.
Either way, though, I think you're taking it the wrong way where, like, gambling takes away from it. No. If you're a true sports fan, like I am with the Man United, you're with Temple, you don't need to gamble to have the passion.
Correct.
Now, when I was watching, I wanted Xavier to lose because it's just funny.
Yeah, more.
It's funny. It's just good to see Kevin lose. But because he loses all the time. He's winning with Arsenal, but he's always lost in sports, it feels like, even though he's won. When I'm watching George Xavier, like, I can't really get into the game, but if I have like $100 on it, I'd be into it. So that's like what gambling kind of gives to that. Like, it makes somebody interested in Temple versus UAB.
Correct.
You bet on it. If you didn't bet on it, why would you care about Temple UAB? I think it adds. You're so worried about gambling. It's like, it's not your money. It's who cares what people do.
No, I'm not worried about gambling.
I know, but you I'm always are like concerned about it.
I have enough heart palpitations watching Temple no matter what, or the Red Sox. I would never do it. I'm just saying that everything, the Man United game with a goal at the last second.
I wish I bet on it. Wish I bet on it. They were huge.
It's easy in hindsight. But I'm telling you, it's why we are passionate about what we're passionate about, right? You know, I heard you yelling at the TV you blew the whistle. Why is the clock running? The clock stopped, and it's frustrating, right?
The clock. It must have been an ESPN glitch. You know how the clock never stopped in soccer? On the television, the clock was stopped for like 30 seconds. So I was freaking out, of course, because I wanted the game to end. The United game, and where we've been on the same page about like extra time. Makes me in on extra time just the way it is.
Yeah.
You don't once in a while you'll get a game like that, an extra time game like that, where there were three goals scored. You walked in the room, Liverpool scored an extra time to take the lead.
Yeah.
On that stupid deflected little goal they scored. And then we scored two more goals to win the game in extra time. That was that's like the greatest ad for extra time of all time was that game.
Right. Right. Well, hey, it's fun.
It almost went to penalties. I was waiting for penalties. That'd have been.
So we can transition two ways. We've got Liverpool getting beat and pissing and moaning. Fans probably complaining. I'm sure the FAU fans and the Charlotte fans and the UAB and the SMU fans are all upset that, oh my God, Temple, the cheating Temple, they gamble, blah, 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 and they get pissy. And you know how Liverpool fans are. We talked about that as well. Everyone moves on. Temple didn't move on, but they solidified the season. Adam Fisher did a great job in getting the kids ready to go. Heiser Miller played phenomenal basketball for him all through the whole tournament. They got great, like you said, from Settle and Carl Malone, Hoffman, and then Riley and everyone else contributed away. Jamila White. The problem with Temple, the difference is they're going to run into the portal's open already. We got the tournament. We'll talk about the tournament in a second. They've already opened up the portal. We haven't even gotten the champion, and the portal's already open. So that's where I love watching Temple, but we're sort of in an uphill battle no matter what we do, because if these three guys played great in the tournament, somebody's going to come in offer them NIL money and they're going to go. And then same thing with almost any team, you know, like St. Peter's. Before we started, they didn't match up St. Peter's with Purdue, did they? That would have been depressing. But with the same thing probably on with Man United is
That's the FA Cup, and the Liverpool guys are, well, we're going to play in the Champions League. And then the Man City guys are like, we're the Champions League champions. So
the Liverpool's not playing the Champions League. They're in the Europa League this year. So, yeah, that's a bigger tournament than the FA Cup. No, it's not. It's equal. You know what? You probably would rather win the Europa League. But the last year, Klopp's last year, you want to win the FA Cup. They can do whatever they want. They know that game hurt.
Right, and they do. So that's the FA Cup. And it's the big game for you this weekend. And we all said it was like Chris Greco came over. Grex came over on Sunday. It's like old times because we were watching Temple. It's been that long. You guys were so young when we started to enjoy those Obi Enchinova and Shiz Austin type of things. But it's good to be. It's good that they won. It's a nice little run. They've never made that far in the tournament. So it's a feel-good story. Hopefully the gambling thing will wash out for them. And things will be better. And if it doesn't, then we're going to stay in the gambling. But we do have the NCAA tournament upon us.
Just to talk about Obi, one more thing about like the transfer portal. It's in a different sport, but this all connects. Obi, it was like one of the last times they were good. They made the tournament. They played Iowa, right? He got pushed in the back. He got pushed in the back. Dude got a putback, won the game at the buzzer. It would have been, we were in the bonus. It would have been two free throws, double bonus. Right. Obi would have taken him. Game over. Temple would have won. Iowa, did you see the kid on Alabama, the kid transferred, the freshman from Alabama?
Yes, I saw that.
The offensive tackle transferred to Iowa and then transferred back to Alabama in the same offseason? How's that even allowed?
And the funny part about that is he took NIL money from Iowa. He was in an automobile commercial for Iowa. And
I didn't know that. That's even worse.
I just read that today. He was saying to me that they were saying that what was the point? He's from Iowa. So he's going back to Iowa. So
I remember Herb Street was like recruiting him to Iowa. He got in trouble for that a little bit.
Right. And then again, Iowa's biggest claim to fame is Caitlin Clark. So it's going to start the women's tournament. Let's go to the men's tournament real quick. And you know, we could go game to game, but let's just look at, you know.
I don't know anything. Honestly, I really haven't even looked at a bracket. Who are the one seeds?
Okay. The one seeds are in the East, UConn. Right?
Yep.
In the West, North Carolina. In the South, Houston, and in the Midwest or Central, whatever they call it, is Purdue. The Purdue's the one. So Purdue in their bracket have Tennessee at 2, Kansas at 4, and Creighton at 3.
Who? Oh my God, that's Purdue's.
Yes.
You Kansas, the kid, one of their player, big players is hurt. They stink. Yep. Tennessee, it's Rick Barnes, right?
I don't know. Yeah, it is.
If Rick Barnes is the coach. I'm not afraid of Rick Barnes. And then Creighton, get out of here with Creighton. I can never respect Creighton. So, yeah, I'm going Purdue. Purdue final. 100%, 100%. How about you?
I really
They said Zach Edey had a growth spurt.
Yeah, I like Tennessee because one of our loyal listeners, Brian Kane, emailed us the other day. And he does say the kid from Tennessee, Dalton Knecht, is the best player I saw this year.
I saw him.
Really like his game. And then he says agrees with Arizona. But I'm going to go right. I haven't done the bracket, but I like Tennessee. As SEC was pretty tough this year. Kansas is nothing.
Craig, all right. So you're picking Tennessee, right?
Tennessee, you're going to go Purdue. What's the 5-12? Is McNeese State and Gonzaga? Gonzaga is actually not as bad as you would think. So there would be one upset there. The other upset happened in the, Texas and UVA, but UVA lost.
UVA is horrible. They're mad. They're mad. Stephen A. I saw said that Bennett should get fired. Have you seen?
I'm really not happy with him. You're right.
He shouldn't get fired, obviously, because he won a title within the last decade. You can't fire a coach like until. What's like this? What did you? How long did UConn wait to fire Kevin Ollie before they fired him? What's like the statute of limitations before you can fire a coach that won a title? I think it's got to be at least a decade, right?
Between Bennett and Ollie, is Bennett doesn't cheat. Ollie was
Bennett. Cheating. Ollie, that wasn't his team. He was the first, like his first, wasn't his team. Yeah, and Bennett though, if you look at their tournament results, I don't think they made it past the round of 64 since the title.
No, you're right.
It's just crazy. They've dropped, and they used to be a one seed. I felt like every year.
Right, they're not.
They lost to UMBC. They're the one seed.
What's happening? That I read somewhere that
pretty good NBA players too.
They want to relook at the way they're running their program because that was embarrassing. You know,
last night was embarrassing.
You give people the college state, but they won't, you know, in reality, they're both 10 seeds.
Yeah, but it's the way the game happened.
They
shouldn't have been in the tournament. Right. But again, they shouldn't have those extra four games. Those are useless, anyways.
True.
Temple played in one of those one year. It's useless.
Yeah, we lost to Belmont.
Put them in the tournament.
Mention that.
Yeah, if you make the tournament, you make the tournament. No need for this 84.
Zach Purdue. You like Purdue. Zach Eddie had the problem with Purdue. Here's my diatribe on Purdue. I would zone them up. Make them beat with three. And if they beat with three, they do. Don't let
you. Okay. Name two players on Purdue.
Zach Edey.
Yeah. Okay. I know. You don't know a thing. You don't know
anybody else. Anyway.
You don't know that they have guys who are shooting lights out from three. You just said that because that's what happened.
No. That's the story. Was the going rate was they lost in the Big Ten tournament by they get beat. Let me ask you a question.
The last team to go undefeated in 1976. Everyone gets beat.
Do you let Edey score 35 points and D everybody else, or do you stop Edey and make everybody else beat you? What would you?
I can't look. Last year, obviously, they D'd up Edey and made everyone else beat them. I don't know the answer to that. I've never watched Purdue this year.
Okay.
I'm picking them based off like vibes of last year, and everyone hates them. Everyone hates Zach Edey. No one likes watching them play. That's why I'm picking them. That's it. That's my analysis. Yours, you somehow thought you ever. What if they have a guy who's like Rand? I hope someone hits 10 threes. I hope they have a guy who was off from three.
You know what? They might. They're gonna
high shine.
Oh, yeah.
They have a tie shot.
No. Okay. You know, you don't want to rip me on temples. You know how old you were in tie shot? You were a little baby. You were about this big. That was March of 00. So you were 6 months old. You're lucky they didn't throw you through the wall.
But yeah.
Tie shine crap. Holloway gets hurt. Holloway, who ends up coaching the St. Peter's last year, he gets hurt.
That's that guy. That's the dude who got hurt.
Yeah.
That guy who's like the first guy to coach two different New Jersey teams to a NCAA tournament ever. That's crazy.
That's him. Wow. Don't bring up bad things like that. All right.
It was a good reference.
It was a great reference, by the way, but it's wrong.
Okay, right. Next bracket. Let's get to the next. We talked about this bracket for way too long.
We got Houston.
That's my champion, Purdue.
Oh, you like Purdue and I like Arizona. Yeah. Houston's 1, Marquette's 2, Kentucky is 3, and Duke is 4.
Yeah, I have Kentucky.
So do I. You can't like what I hate Duke.
I don't know.
Marquette's a nice team. They get some really good players. The kid from Wilson High School, Reading, Pennsylvania, Mitchell plays for them. I forget their big scorer. They could be tough. I'm going to go with Kentucky as well. So Houston will end up gagging somewhere.
A guy like I think it's Dillingham on Kentucky. He can go for 30 and hit like 8 threes, like we were just talking about. He's probably going to be the first college kid picked in the draft. He has a chance.
And the freshman Reed Shepard is the second coming of Rex Chapman. If everybody knows who Rex Chapman once was, he's got a book out now.
That's one of like the strangest comparisons ever. I've never heard anyone be called the next Rex Chapman.
You don't know how.
What's he going to start a Twitter account and just like posts like the most like clickbaity stuff?
You have no idea how good Rex Chapman was. He was a great leaper.
He's like Peyton Pritchard.
Better.
No.
More athletic than Peyton Pritchard. Much more athletic.
I don't know enough about.
No, you don't.
All right. Okay. So you pick Kentucky. Who cares about that bracket? Who's the one seed?
One seed was Houston.
Okay. Oh, I'm surprised you haven't
picked them. The 5-12 is Wisconsin, James Madison. And the 10 is we'll have a winner tonight, Colorado and Boise State and versus Florida. I'm looking at this bracket and who's 5?
You're right. You're right. Rex Chapman. Nah, he didn't shoot the ball. He shot 43%, but he just scored more points than Pritchard. I don't know if I'm going to say you're right.
He was better than Pritchard.
He may be right. Let me see what Pritchard's shooting from the field. Same thing. Pritchard's shooting 43% too because he just takes threes, which is fine. Rex Chapman's better. Fine. Next.
Our next bracket is the East, which is our good friend, Mr. Hurley, who likes to fight people in Providence. And everywhere else, they're the number 1.
So the one thing about them is everyone's on them, so I'm off them.
I'm off them.
That's
too.
How I'm picked. You can't. So we both have no knowledge. We're just basically like reasoning the same. Everyone is picking UConn.
Okay,
so
let's go through.
We're like 4-1 to win.
So you got UConn as number 1. You got Iowa State at number 2. You got Illinois at number 3, Big Ten champ, and you got our good friends from Charles Barkley and Auburn at 4. A lot of kids in school like Auburn. I don't know why. But
give me some 5s, 6s, and 7s.
Okay, the 5 is San Diego State playing UAB, our good friends from UAB. The 6 is BYU playing Duquesne. The 7 is Washington State playing.
Forget it.
I'm telling you right now, FAU is going to beat Northwestern and upset Connecticut.
Yeah, okay. I'm not even going to entertain that. I can't. So I know I said I wasn't picking UConn, but I just heard the 2 through 7. I hate them all. So I'm going.
I'll go with Auburn there. Go with Auburn. So you got UConn, I got Auburn, right?
Yeah.
We both have Kentucky. Wow, that's kind of funny.
Speaking of Charles Barkley, we could bring up after the we haven't talked about the infamous Joe Mazzulla shot contest against the Suns.
Oh, we'll talk about it later.
No, I just want to real quick drop kick the Suns. Charles Barkley, Mr. I love Charles, but whine about all the new players being babies and soft and all this. And he goes like, he starts talking about how Mazzulla should have gotten knocked out for that because you really could have seriously hurt him. Charles, come on.
I might have to back off of Auburn because I got three SEC teams right now in my Final Four.
It's like the Big East the year that Villanova won.
Yeah, Mullen and Pickney and Patrick Ewing. Yeah,
that's... Yeah, so St. John's, Villanova, and Georgetown. Yeah.
You know, speaking of St. John's and Mullen, Luke Armseca is still alive. He coached in that.
I know that. I think he's 99. Yeah.
He'll be 100. Jesus, that's old. I saw a 100-year-old lady at the when we had dinner with Pop.
Yeah, there's many at that place. Don't worry. All right, keep going. Wait,
now the best conference of them all.
Wait, so yeah, you as you okay next.
I'm gonna switch. I'm gonna take Iowa State instead of Connecticut because I can't take all those SEC. I'm gonna change.
So I have Kentucky, UConn, and Purdue.
Right now, I have
I like that mix.
You like that mix? Yeah, I'll go with Tennessee, Iowa State, and Kentucky. Ugh. I feel like already I'm gonna throw up in my mouth. In the West, North Carolina got the number one seed. My good friends from Arizona got the two. Baylor was three. Alabama was four. I like that to be North Carolina, Arizona in the final eight, and Arizona to win. That's what I like. Because I can name a lot of Arizona.
I don't players. Know. Who were the other? It was UNC.
Arizona, Baylor, three. Yep.
No, forget them.
Carolina one, Alabama four, five was I gotta find five.
I'll go Carolina. We didn't have enough blue bloods last year.
Right, and I go Arizona, which is almost a blue blood now.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
So I got the blue blood. I got Kentucky in the blue blood. So then we would have Arizona, UConn for you. Arizona, Iowa State for me, or North Carolina, UConn. Who do you want in the final game there?
I guess I'm a Tar Heel. I'll go North Carolina.
Okay, now I'm going to go Zona, and then I got Kentucky, and you got Purdue or Kentucky, Tennessee. I got Kentucky.
Yeah. I'd love to see a Kentucky UNC final. I love that. That's like Man United playing Liverpool. It's like the Red Sox playing the Yankees. It's these two just powerhouses of the finals. And last year was UConn and what, FAU, who lost to Temple. But I have to go with Purdue because that's who I'm picking.
I would say you got Purdue versus Carolina in the final, and who do you got to win it?
Purdue.
And I got Arizona.
So I'm in this like big bracket with a bunch of people. I guarantee you there's like less than five that pick Purdue. It'll probably be like 40, 50 kids.
And a lot of it's because of what we were talking about earlier. We have in our mind what happened last year, which I do. And you're right, biases are biases. And I would go with that. Do you want me to get the woman's bracket if I can find it?
No, not really. But all I know is Shannon Sharpe's really delivering the heavy hitting journalism with picking the two tournaments, picking 8-1 seeds. That's all I know. The game that matters is we have to get LSU versus Iowa. And that'll be an Elite Eight game, which is stupid. They should have been in different brackets. But LSU might not have made it. So maybe it's smart because we probably are going to get LSU versus Iowa. I'm picking Iowa. Why not? We'll just Iowa all the way. I don't care. It's one of those things. Don't bet against a team you're rooting against or you're rooting for. So I'm picking
Iowa. I'm going to go with somebody because I always do South Carolina with Dawn Staley because the Temple connection. We got to have something, some Philly connection going in there. And they're good. They got lucky to beat Tennessee on a last second shot, which I watched about six times. But they're the most complete team. They got upset last year by
The real question is South Carolina or the field. Is basically
probably in
the
league. Right. Probably it's right. But there's
50-50. South Carolina. It's 50-50, I'd say, South Carolina in the field.
Probably. Here I got the
bracket. Let me get their odds. See if they're plus or minus.
I don't have the odds. You get the odds. Here we got South Carolina is a one, Iowa's a one, USC is a one, and Texas is a one. So those are your ones. USC's got that, I forget her name. She got a real Apollo something, a weird name. Freshman. She's the next Caitlin Clark.
Who, the one in South Carolina, USC?
Yeah, the other USC. Yeah.
Southern California.
Yeah. I talked to Pop about this too, is the thing is these girls, the girls game is just more exciting because, you know,
yeah.
they're just, it's more fun to watch. It's not the coaches dominating it. It's not the bullshit NIL, although there's some, but it's for basketball. Somebody asked me about Caitlin Clark, and she's got a nice shot. She's got a lot going for her. She's a pretty good ball player. And
yeah, I always talk about her ball handling. Like, that's what I always talk about.
Let's see. That's why we talked about Pete Maravich last week. She's definitely Pete Maravich of the girls' game. Just
talk about Rex Chapman, Peyton Pritchard.
Pete Maravich is better, and so is Caitlin Clark.
Like I said to you, I do think you said Pete Maravich better. Yeah, he is. If Peyton, but we'll go further back. I think Peyton Pritchard would school. Like I love this guy, but I think if Pritchard played in the 50s, he'd be better than Bob Cousy.
Yeah, again, we can't. That's yes, because he's also probably 4 inches taller than Bob Cousy.
Shout out JJ Redick.
And he's strong, but Bob Cousy was also plumbing at the time, so it was tough. He had two jobs.
Okay.
It's hard to judge. You know, I'd love that someday we get a bunch of people. It's a great discussion, Jack, by the way.
No, it's not. It's a terrible discussion.
Those guys didn't train. The game is.
I hate that discussion.
But I know what you do, but the game changed. Of course Peyton Pritchard is going to be better. He's bigger, he's stronger, he's athletic. It's all he did was play basketball his whole life. All the time. That's all he did.
All right. Then that's fine. Then you're a better.
He's better that, body of play.
I'm okay with that answer, but then, like, okay, that's fine.
But if you move Cousy when Pritchard was in Oregon and Cousy was in Oregon, Cousy would have been the player he would have been one of the elite players because he would have trained differently. That's all. That's what the hard one to judge.
Your original point was still that he was 3 inches smaller than him. That wouldn't change.
No, but you're right. But basketball's a hard one to do like that. I don't know.
South Carolina is odds on to win. They're minus 130 to win the title. Ooh. So it's more than 50%.
Oh, that's good.
That's how women's basketball is. You get a dominant team like that, they're probably not going to lose.
I just want to reiterate, we're going to go back to my good friend Brian Kane. Here's what he wrote. Brian, I hope you don't mind us reading this because I think this is great. And we definitely got to get Kane and Brian on the show, except he's a Yankee fan. He goes, looking forward to the NCAA tournament, my favorite 3 weeks of the sports for the year. I don't want Purdue to win. Zach.
Yeah!
Wait. Zach, this is the best. I love Brian. He is the best. Zach Edey is a stiff. I just can't watch him. Very overrated. This is the greatest. Runs like Herman Munster. And for all you old people know who Munster is. Plus, Matt Painter will find a way to blow it. Then he talked about the kid from Tennessee. And then he said, he agrees with me on Arizona. If they put it all together, they could be dangerous. Their center, Bayou, is a dangerous monster. He also likes Auburn. I saw them a bunch, and they're well-balanced. UConn and Houston will be tough to beat. So he's got to go, and he hates Zach Edey. So I just love the Herman Munster. For those people who know who Herman Munster was, there was a show back in the 60s called The Munsters, and it was Herman Munster was like Frankenstein. And there's a weird family, and they try to integrate into the society, but Herman was kind of strange. So if you get a chance on, like, some TV, Netflix, YouTube, look it up, Munsters. You'll enjoy it. Eddie Munster had a haircut almost like Jack with the widow's peak, like Jack's got going there. So that was Eddie Munster for all you people older like me. I had what? That's a joke.
We're really nailing the young demo here.
Oh, we really are.
Yeah.
Okay, let's go back to the young demo.
Forget it. All right. We're not. Was that the rest of the email?
Then he talked. Okay, so he talks about. Then he said the line of yesterday was Jack saying you should be on the no fly list. Really cracked him up. Then my favorite one, which we are going to definitely get him on the show for this one. He goes,
This is
great. The 2018 Red Sox were not the team everyone thinks they were. Spoken, Brian, like a true Yankee fan. They only won 100.
You know who that sounds like? That sounds like, you know who you would think would be writing that in the Globe? That's John Henry. John Henry probably, that's what John Henry thought because he got rid of the whole team.
Okay, so he doesn't think everything. Then he says, look at the roster. Meh. He goes, the 78 team would kill that team. 78 team and no pitching. I mean, Mike Torres, Louis Tiao wasn't over the hill. It's been good. I looked it up. The 18 team had higher WAR by like six. Brian, just so you know.
WAR. Watch the game. If you watch those games, now respect to him. You know what game he did watch? Like this was like the best game of the whole season. Was that Yankee game when they were in the midst of that 4-game sweep in August? When the last game that came back and they totally and it was the whole due damage thing. It's because right before the series, Aaron Boone said, "Well, they seem to beat everybody, but we always seem to do damage against them." And we swept them. But he probably remembers watching the greatest game. There was the World Series MVP that year, hitting three home runs against the Yankees, like in a random game in August when the Yankees were like an 100-win team.
Right, and they
and won. That's just the talent they had. He was their second first baseman, and he hit three home runs against the Yankees, an 100-win Yankee team.
Yeah, so that's and he also probably he's old enough to remember maybe 78 when the Yankees swept four. They called it the Boston Massacre, and Don Zimmer completely gagged on his gagging. So that team was lucky. I love that 78 team. I loved. I was 16 years old, but that 78 team had a big lead. Got a little bit of pitching injuries. Zimmer gagged a lot. Yankees came on, played really well. But they were down. They won their, like, the last eight games before that playoff game. And then Yaz popped up against the Goose Gotcha 100-mile fastball, and the game was over. That, no way, I'm telling you, 2018 better than 100%. Plus, 2018 won. They didn't lose the damn Yankees like this, the 78 team did. And I was a Yaz fan my life growing up. So, and those were the years that were very disappointing to be a Red Sox fan. So, in 2018, how old were you? You were 19, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Looking different. But that's Brian, and he does talk about that. We fantasy. He's got three teams. He's in three 20-league teams. Is this guy nuts?
Yeah, it doesn't even.
I'm having trouble just doing my small teams and keeping up with it. But Brian's in three leagues, and like I said, definitely if we can get him, we'll get him on. Because once we both get back in the studio, we can zoom him in.
The issue with being in three leagues, you're not like three totally different teams. You can be rooting for everyone.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And
then again, it is 20 teams, so it's. Not that many players.
Our fantasy draft comes up. What?
He'd have Steve Pierce on his team.
Who?
He'd have Steve Pierce on his team.
Yeah, he would.
20 team league. You have to have players like that.
Well, you have to have all the crappy players. You know, you would have who? Let's see.
Steve Pierce.
Josh Winkowski for the Red Sox. Right.
No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't have him. You'd have like.
Who knows?
Yeah. No, you'd have Alex Verdugo. Ha ha!
He's got Alex Verdugo to live with now, though.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. We're done with baseball. I don't want to even talk about the game today. That was a useless thing that the MLB did. We're starting to see
them. No.
They're starting like a week earlier. No, we'll talk about baseball when baseball happens. We're not.
But I'm telling you right now, baseball happened today, and they did it in Korea. So let's look at what they've done. They've expanded. They're doing things the right way. They take the Dodgers and Shohei and take them to Korea, right? So they play the first time in Korea. And then they played in Mexico City. They played the Red Sox at the exhibition in Dominican. They're going to go over and play like in Germany or France or wherever they can play. If I had the money, it would be fun to travel to France. What are you doing?
Did they play in Havana yet?
Oh, my God, not yet.
All right. I'm done with baseball. We can't. I get it. Yeah, they're doing the right thing. I still hate it. We can't talk about baseball.
I know you're done with baseball. Let's go to
– We'll have Kevin call in with like a fantasy call because he'll have his team.
Oh, that's so true.
Him do a call.
That was great. Yeah. Greg got to go home and study his keepers.
Yeah.
Kevin, if you're listening, I hope you picked the right keepers, because if you picked the guy you were going to pick, I'm going to laugh at you all season long.
He's spoiling stuff, you idiot. Oh.
No.
Okay, whatever. Next. We're done with baseball, especially after that. We're done.
All right, let's go on to the Celtics. Who this right,
I don't even really want. You see this idiot. You know, it's Greek night at the Garden. You know who's not playing?
Porzingis.
No, Giannis.
Oh,
he ruined the game. It's unbelievable. Yeah, everyone was waiting.
Why is Giannis not playing?
I don't know. It's so the NBA. It's so frustrating. Yeah.
Well, they know they're out of it, though, right? They're not going to catch themselves.
I guess so. The first time they played was, I think the Bucks might have been on short rest, but they might not have been. It might have been even, and the Celtics beat them pretty badly at the Garden. Right. The next time the Celtics, it was like their fifth game in 7 days, but they still got spanked around. They were both fully healthy, though, pretty much. And then this was supposed to be the game where it's like, let's see the two best teams in the Eastern Conference play each other fully healthy. And he's not playing.
You know what? Why are you hiding? What are you hiding from?
He's not hiding.
It's what happens in the NBA all the time, though. You're right. But again, let's take it a step back. The Celtics got to play the Washington, what are they, Wizards now? The Washington Wizards and the Detroit Pistons. Maybe two of the three worst teams in the history of the basketball league this year, right? First game, Brown, Porzingis, and White didn't play. And Hauser had 30 points in the first half and then got hurt.
Yeah.
And then the second game, Tatum. Who did play? Tatum, Horford, Hauser, and what's his name?
Well, Holiday.
Holiday didn't play. And they dominated these teams. The Celtics' top eight, without their best three or without the quality top three players, is still beating these crappy teams. It what is I don't know. It's hard. They're good, no doubt about it. They're a really good basketball team, and they, you made the point, they would probably make the playoffs if you took Brown or Tatum off the team. They'd probably be a top four team in the playoffs. If you take one of their superstars off, but that gets me to Jaylen Brown. Jaylen Brown, huh?
Yeah, decent chance. Yeah,
Jaylen Brown. What the hell? People bitch about it. This guy is a great player.
Yeah.
So if he plays like this the rest of the way, which he probably won't, but he has stepped his game up, not forcing anything anymore. And he's they're winning with him playing great and Tatum having struggled. Tatum has struggles. I'm telling you right now, the only team I'd worry about is Denver. The only team I worry about, because you're right, you make the point that everybody to guard Jokic. But in the East, unless somebody gets red hot for five straight games,
I'd still, like I said, that's pretty true tonight, is I still would say a little bit of Milwaukee. There's no one else besides Milwaukee, but I would have liked to see them play Milwaukee tonight, and they're not going to.
Right, right. But Milwaukee's, but
that's the one team where it's like Milwaukee, and the way the schedule, the way the standings have worked out, they won't be getting them to the conference finals. So they might not even get there, the Bucks. They have they obviously have a chance of losing one of those in the second round. But I still would say I'm not 100% confident they beat the Bucks. I'm 90%.
Okay.
But anybody, I'm not 100% like everyone else. What?
Anybody in the West other than Denver beat them?
No. No. Not even close. No.
Yeah.
No. Maybe the Clippers if Kawhi's red hot. I'd say I'm like 80% confident they beat the Clippers. I'm like 60% confident they beat Denver. So the Clippers, I'd say. But none of the Timberwolves and the Oklahoma, no way.
Well, Timberwolves lost, what's his name's out, Anthony Towns, and they were always struggling to be offensive anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City doesn't play much defense. Like I said, it's Jokic. You know, that'd be a great final, by the way.
Yeah.
It'd be a great final, for especially to the legacy of Tatum and Brown, right? It would be a great final. I had one.
Yeah, they can't lose that. They can't lose this year. They can't.
Yeah.
You cannot do anything. Like last year I would say they really shouldn't have lost either, but like they could lose first year head coach and their regular season, they had some like ups and downs and little bits. This year it's like you're not going to improve on the regular season you're having next year. So it's like there's nothing they can do anymore. They have to win.
Yeah, all right. And they, like I said,
Brad, it's a crazy place to be in, but it is.
I'm building up a team. Two other points at least I've just come to mind.
It's almost like the 2018 Red Sox, to be honest.
Yeah, you're right. That's
it's
true.
Like they had lost, and it's like you can't win more than 108 games. If you don't do it this year, run these guys out of town.
That's why they gave them. I talked to my good friend John Amico at the school today, the coach of the basketball team. He asked me if I had seen the Dynasty, whatever they call that damn show. And I know that he hated it.
Well, we talked about this. Yeah.
And it's just – I've not watched it, so I don't know. I just know what I've read. And he just doesn't understand, if Kraft thought it was going to make him look good, why would he think that? You know?
Yeah, I think because we talked so much about Kraft, he's delusional.
And then the other thing was the other point that he makes is that, you know, he watches this to see that he said the 03, 04 championship teams, they really glossed over real quickly. And he said, I had to listen to Tom Curran for 30 minutes, and he hates Tom Curran, who's a mouthpiece of the Krafts. They had to listen to this, and they had to listen to that. They had like 10 minutes with Michael Strahan talking about this, the Giants beating them. He said, I wanted to celebrate them winning, not all the controversies.
That's what it was. That's what someone said. It was like it made you feel like the being a Patriots fan for 20 years was terrible.
Yeah.
It sucked. When in reality, it was like the greatest sports run of all time.
Right, he said that. That's exactly what he said.
That's what it is. Yeah.
Now, like Gronk has come out and defended Belichick, and you know what's his name? Edelman's defended. McCourty's defended him. Rodney Harrison. They're coming out and saying this is really a weird look at it. And so whatever Kraft was thinking he was trying to do, he didn't do. And you're right. Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were the reason they won. And another thing that he said, I haven't seen it, so I'm not going to watch it. Brady took less money for all those years so they could have – he was never the highest paid quarterback in the NFL up until the end. And that really helped. And, you know, Bob Kraft was coming across that he kept them from feuding and all that bullshit. So it was the dynasty, whatever they called it. I can't wait till we have the John Henry special, because that'll be interesting to see his thought process on – he was a hero here and he's not anymore. because he's crapped the bed. So that was that. And we've seen tweets about that, but Mr. Miko told me that he didn't like it. I know Ingram didn't like it. The one, Ryan, the custodian, he loved it for some other reason. And he had his...
Wait. I was literally, when you were going through that list of names, I was about to say, is there anyone who actually liked it?
Ryan liked it. The custodian Ryan, he liked it.
He's You'd have to be like the most hardcore, diehard Felger and Maz listener to enjoy that documentary. You have to be the biggest narcissist. They should have won 20 Super Bowls. Yeah. Everything sucked. Belichick's an a-hole. That's the only way you like that documentary. And again, Kraft read the room wrong. Kraft thought he listened. Maybe he listened to Felger and Maz. Maybe every single call, Belichick this, Belichick suck. Get rid of Belichick. We need gone Belichick. I think maybe he read the room wrong and thought that a lot of people or a lot higher percentage in this town hated Belichick. When in reality, people don't hate Belichick. They understand he's Bill Belichick. He won you 6 Super Bowls. Right. Like, there's no Tom Brady without Bill Belichick. There just isn't. Now, obviously, that's not me saying obviously Brady's more important, but Brady doesn't exist if Belichick doesn't give him the chance.
Correct. Draft's coming up, about a month? We're going to get Jay Trev's expertise.
Oh, yeah. Jay Trev's got a mock draft coming out, so we need to know what's going on with the Patriots pick. I would obviously trade it for those Vikings. The Vikings made that trade to get a first round
pick. What are you
going to
get at 11, though?
Trade up. Doesn't matter what you get at 11. You get at 11 and 17, you get talent. 11, you can get a left tackle. 17, I said 11, you take either a receiver or a tackle if one of them is still there that you really like. 17, you take the best available because the Patriots need every single
position. They do.
They need every position. So you take the best
available. You're going to run with Jacoby Brissett as a quarterback?
Who cares? They're more than a year away anyways. If they pick a take a kid, whoever, if you like someone, they're not going to in the second round. But if they get a quarterback, they're not going to win this year. They're so far away. And the point I saw him make is Andy Reid, when he went to Kansas City, I think they had the first pick in the draft that year. And everyone's like, oh, he's going to go get his quarterback. Andy Reid needs his quarterback. He's going to go get his quarterback. Andy Reid didn't go get the quarterback that year. He picked Eric Fisher, the tackle.
Tackle, right.
Fisher. Could have the timeline wrong. And he went and got Alex Smith, who's better than Jacoby Brissett, for sure. Right. Him with Alex Smith was competitive. They were like a playoff team. And he waited till he found the right quarterback, and then they made the trade up and got their quarterback. That's what they did. You don't have to go chase that quarterback if you don't love it.
Alex Smith had been a number one pick, and he wasn't bust almost. And he came to the right system, and he did what he needed to, right? Drake, you know, the problem is everybody's talking about Minnesota wants to trade up. I was talking to the guys today, John and Ryan, and they were saying if you trade the 3 for like the if who's the 5, I forget, somebody's looking for a quarterback and you flip the picks, whoever does that, Minnesota's going to trade the 4 to get the quarterback they want anyway. So it'll like Arizona's got the 4. Arizona could trade the pick for anything or pick a wide receiver if 3 quarterbacks go first. Do you really trust Jaden Daniels and Drake May? Are Jaden Daniels and Drake
That's
May?
That's the thing. That's my point.
Jaden is going to be like last year's draft picks or years ago, like not Trubisky, but an Andrew, but who, the Wilson kid that went to the Jets, or Sam Darnold who went to the Jets. And then who was the Young who went first to Carolina? So it'll be interesting. We got to get Jay Trev to get us on board with that, and that'll be good. Two. I just want to bring up, ask two golf things that I saw today.
I forgot about golf. That was actually a pretty big tournament. A
great tournament. And Scheffler is now clearly the number one player in the world.
Not even close.
Guys can pitch all they want.
No one's close to him.
I got the feeling Rahm really wishes he could still play on the PGA Tour and took his $300 million. But
we get a Rahm Scheffler final round in a major this year, it's going to be awesome.
Correct. If Rahm's up to the speed, though, because he's playing shit. He's been the crap golfers.
Yeah.
And did you see that? I don't know if this was fake or not, but I saw a Koepka quote or Koepka tweet about Tiger Woods.
Probably fake. You fall for this all the time.
I don't know. Tiger Woods, it's like, if he comes, it's probably fake, but it's actually kind of funny. Tiger Woods is like letting your little brother play and thinking he has a chance to win.
The funniest thing about this is I probably know exactly the Twitter account you got that off of.
That was a great.
It was probably Tour Golf, but Tour is spelled T-U-O-R. You see that account all the time with fake.
That was a great
tweet. That 100% is what happened.
That's a great fake tweet, though. Think about it. It's a great trolling tweet. I like it. I'll have to look it up.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no. He No tweet. That was not real.
It was funny, though. Isn't that a great line?
Yeah, it's funny, but like.
Isn't that Kepka's line, though? Isn't that what you would expect? Although Kepka and Tiger are pretty close. But isn't it? It's like joking. It's like poking Tiger a little bit. Because Tiger announced he was playing the Masters today. That's why that came out. Tiger announced he played the Masters. Like, it was a great, good tournament. It was a great tournament. And your buddy Wyndham Clark lifted it out. Well, we talk about it. We talk golf. We talk Premier League people. We're losing our demographic huge. We go that way.
I'm just, if you root for Wyndham Clark, like if you are a fan of Wyndham Clark, you're a loser. You are a, like, you know what I mean? If you root for Wyndham Clark, who's rooting for Wyndham Clark? Seriously, who? His family, his friends? You're a loser if you actively root for Wyndham Clark.
His compadres, all his friends. Well,
that's fine.
That was a big tournament. Some of the top last past major winners there. You know, it was competitive. Shoffley,
yeah, obviously, it's the biggest non-major tournament there is.
So the next thing we have actually is the Masters, which is about 3-4 weeks away now, right?
I'm going Scheffler. Just he has that feel that I don't think you felt with a golfer in a while. Like maybe in my life, like in my time of, it's just, I don't know.
Well, I'm going to take a Scheffler, and you know this, and a good golf talk today is his putting. You never know what you're going to get with him.
When he gets hot, he shoots 63.
His tee to green is phenomenal.
Yeah.
His putting, he wins. His tee to green is phenomenal. He can't miss those. He misses the 8-footers, which you have to make to win.
There's an argument you could make that he's the greatest tee to green player of all time.
Not true, because Tiger and Jack were great tee to green players.
I bet you if you look like at the super super big numbers, they weren't as good as.
That's probably true. That'd be nice to look at. That'd be good to look at. He's no doubt about it, he's best player in the world.
Right, and the now. Funniest thing is his driver swing is he has no balance at the end. I guess he does have balance at the end of the swing, but he kind of proves. I saw this online. It's like after you make contact with the ball, it really doesn't matter that much.
Right.
He's always sliding out of his swing and swinging out. Always. But he's never like he's not really super bad. It's hard to explain. Like, it's not like what you would think. Like, oh, Freddie Couples swing, but it's like, I don't know. It's weird. So and he's the greatest ever. He's, you know what? Forget tee to green. I'll say he's the greatest driver of a golf ball that's ever lived.
Lived. No, that's probably true. And
Emma Rory.
Did you know where his coming out party was?
Scheffler, I got no clue. Somewhere in Boston.
No, I know. I thought that he was
Wait, you know what happens?
It was like a US Open against, I think,
Bryson DeChambeau. Yeah, Wingfoot. I thought you meant like his coming out party, not like his like
first. No, that was what
people knew who he was before then, I thought.
No, not really. He was a good young player. He's a phenomenal player though. Hey, breaking news. On this, today, on the 31st episode of It All Boils Down to This, Ohtani's interpreter fired. Massive theft alleged. The interpreter for Dodgers Shohei Ohtani was fired Wednesday after questioning surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Ohtani's bank account to a bookmaking operation set off a series of events. So gambling, it comes back to haunt us.
Okay.
Cool. Always gambling.
Can I just say my point? That's hilarious and all, but like the whole thing here is that's such a bad move by him. If he just had been his translator for like 15 years, Ohtani's got no money right now. All of his money comes in like 2070.
I'm kidding.
You should have waited, bro. And then he could have $4 million. He would have gotten away with $100 million.
It's like the guy embezzling from the Carolina Panthers for his gambling. Yeah, I hate to come back gambling and all there, but that's what I got for now. Anything else you can think of? We got, like I said, the tournament's coming up. We'll have a little bit to talk about that. Baseball season opens in 2 weeks. I do want to do a Red Sox show because I want to get you bitching about everything because it's fun to listen to you complain.
We do the Red Sox show like May 1st. Like, give them a month to suck.
We'll do two. We'll do a show. I want to see what your impressions are of who's who and what you
who's
think.
Who? I know who's who.
No, but what do you expect from them? You know, what do you expect? What do you expect? Hey, Boro's got his other guy, Snell, signed.
You know what I'm expecting by May 1st? Brian Bale, right? He's a righty.
Forearm.
Right elbow soreness.
Forearm soreness. Forearm's worse than elbow.
Okay, yeah.
And update the Wilmington High School baseball team. First 3 days of practice. Pitching's looking pretty good. Hopefully we hit. Goals to make the tournament. We'll keep you updated every week on that as we go forward. I got the JV team, so I don't see the varsity play, so I'll get secondhand knowledge on that. But that's really all we got. It's good to be back in Massachusetts. Nice, cold, snowy, rainy weather from Florida, where it's nice and warm for all that. But I don't think I get anything else for you, Jack. There was something you said about the Olympics. Did you send us a note about what
they're doing? Oh, they're doing like NFL Red Zone, but for the Olympics, which actually is a good idea.
That's an awesome idea.
I know.
You just go right to the big highlights, which I guess. Wouldn't you? No, you can't. You know why they? You know why? Because it's in Europe this year, so it's 5 years ahead. 5 years. 5 hours ahead. So anything that happens at 7 o'clock in the morning, you're going to be asleep for. So hopefully they do it all through those times that maybe you want to wake up and watch an event. Especially like girls gymnastics.
Yeah, but still, all the big finals are going to be at like 4 o'clock.
Right, right.
If you think it's not, they'll do them at 9 o'clock at night and four, and they'll make sure it's like.
Correct. Yeah. Let me just check.
I guarantee the 100-meter dash is ran after 4 p.m. here.
The final. Yeah, well, definitely. Always going to be. Always going to be. So that's really all I got, Jack, for episode 31 of It All Boils Down to This. Anything else?
Anthony Edwards has had like two ridiculous. He had one last night. He's had like two insane dunks since we did our last podcast. I say Jaylen Brown is the best in-game dunker ever. His buddy from Atlanta there is better than him. He's the best in-game dunker ever. Yeah.
You get a chance to see the Timberwolves play, get them on TV, get them watched. They're not going to be much action. They'll be in the tournament. They'll be in the playoff tournament. So that's good. Like I said, tournament action started last night. The big time start tomorrow, Thursday. We'll be back next week. Hopefully have some more of that action on Monday or Tuesday. We'll be on the air. So for Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. And for It All Boils Down to This, episode 31, we'll see you on down the road.
Thanks for listening to this episode of It All Boils Down to This, recorded at WCTV Studios in our hometown of Wilmington, Massachusetts. We are always open to any ideas, critiques, topics, and guests. So if anyone out there in podcast world needs to get a hold of us, we can be reached via email at jboyle22@comcast.net. Along with Jack Boyle, I'm Jim Boyle. Make sure to tune in to the next edition of It All Boils Down to This.